Okay, you all. I have another story about the ex. Now, just to bring you up to speed, if you don't know, you need to go back and listen to Assault the Ex and My God. And focus on the portion that was about the ex, because I have a follow-up and you're going to need a drink for this one. So this will be a great time for you to hit pause and go get a cocktail and then come back to listen to the story. And if you didn't hear the previous podcast, Assault the Ex and My God, pause, go back, listen to that podcast, and then come hop back on here and hear the rest of this one right here. So this story is more, I guess, about perceptions of love and forgiveness. You're wondering, where am I going with this, right? I had a dream about the ex. Now, this happened about a month ago. And so the ex and I don't see each other. We're not really, engaging. Occasionally, we will engage on text message. And sometimes it's just cordial, sometimes it's a little flirty. There's a gray area that we're entering with the text, and then I'll hop out of it. Or the text may be we're beefing or scratching about something. Like he may say something and maybe he hit a button and I went ahead and was triggered. And so I made a smart comment back and forth. And so you just never really know with our text messaging where we are with everything. And I am just sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of where we are with this text messaging situation. And this, whatever that was, it was time for that to be done. Praise the Lord. So once I entered into that headspace, I had a dream. Now, this all occurred, this dream part, over a month ago. I had a dream that I went somewhere and I saw the ex with a woman, and he had bought her flowers, and he was smiling, and he was happy, and he seemed relaxed, and he seemed to kind of dote on her. And I mean, he was everything and then some to that particular woman in the dream. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I hope he's happy because that's the person that I remember dating, almost 10 years ago. So I was like, I hope he's happy. I hope he's doing the dang on thing and he happy and she happy and have at it. Genuinely, that is how I was in the dream. And so I woke up and it's like, okay, cool. Wonder what that was about, Lord. Most of the time, I'm not really an individual that puts too much stock in my dreams, but get your glass. So fast forward about a week after that dream, I get a random text message. Hey, girl, hey, how you doing? I'm gonna have a little housewarming. Why don't you stop through? It's gonna be some friends over here, light fare, just stop through. Okay, I read the text. I didn't want to read anything more than what was typed in the dang on bubble. Okay, maybe I'll go. This is different. But the text message was really kind of dry too. So I really didn't know what to expect. I'm like, okay. So I text him back. Well, okay. Well, thanks for the invite. I'll let you know. And that was that. So I slept on it. Y'all, I had a dream about this person. This dream was about I, for some reason, at this house I've never been to, I was dressed in like a long t-shirt, and I'm walking through quote unquote his house, and I walk past the sofa, and there was tossed fresh laundry on the sofa that needed to be folded, and there was women's underwear in the laundry pile. And I woke up. So I'm like, Lord, I just want to call a truce. I just want us to be good. I don't know what that dream was about necessarily, but I feel like he's extending an olive branch by saying, hey, come over for the housewarming, because of how we have been on and off in the text message threads. And I don't want to step on that. I want to accept it for what it is and just visit and, you know, call a truce. This is the opportunity for me to call a truce and just say, hey, I don't want to be beefing, scratching and text messages no more. I don't want the gray. I don't want the flirty. I don't want the hot cold. I don't want any of it anymore. Cool. Bet. So I think later in the afternoon, I sent him a text. I didn't call him. I just said, hey, I think I'm going to go ahead and come through. Again, thanks for the invite. He said, okay, cool. So as time approached, I said, hey, you know, for a person that has everything, I'm like, if you need ice or something like that, you know, let me know. I can grab some ice on my way over there because I know you're having company, whatever. He's like, nah, I'll just bring you. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cute. So I'm like, all right, well, I show up. And you remember, we have mutual friends. So a couple of the mutual friends were there, which was perfectly fine. And one of the mutual friends that we have, I hadn't seen in probably almost 20 years. I mean, I know I look younger than I really am. But yeah, I haven't seen him in almost 20 years. And it was going to be good to kind of just see him too and just say hello. That was the headspace that I was in. And the truth, people. So one of the other mutual friends that I'll see on occasion, have a cocktail with, was there. So he comes out, like, hey, what's up, girl? I'm like, what's up? He's like, whatever. So go into the house. And, you know, I had to put on my Pilates socks because, of course, you know, you have a new house. You don't want people just, you know, stomping around your home in their tennis shoes or their shoes. So I put on my little Pilates socks and I'm like, oh, it's all good. And then this really pretty, light-skinned, athletic build woman about my height just happened to walk past and was like, hello. So I'm like, hello, how are you? So I went ahead and went inside and said hello to everyone else and greeted the people and met the people I did not know, because remember, it's his housewarming. And then he comes downstairs like, hey, you know, let me know when y'all ready for a tour. Because, of course, you know, when I arrived, a few other people just happened to straggle in behind me. And so that was perfectly fine. So he kind of walks up on me and was like, oh, that's my homegirl. I didn't know that you were coming. So I'm like, oh, who? Right? Because I'm like, he was referring to the woman that I mentioned that kind of graced past me when I first came through the door. So I said, oh, okay. I didn't think anything of it. Like, I literally didn't think anything into it. And remember, there's other people there, single and married. I didn't think much of anything. So as he took the new lot of us on this brief tour of the house, we get to the lower level of the home. And he kind of is now all in my face and giving like the back hug, side hug. I didn't realize you were coming. I made a mistake. So I was like, what are you talking about? He said, well, I didn't realize you were coming. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have invited her. Invited who? He like, her. I'm like, oh, the girl that you told me that was your homegirl? So he's like, well, I really just met her a week ago and we're just getting to know each other. And she said she was coming. I didn't know you were coming. And so now y'all just here at the same time. I said, oh, okay, bruh, you good. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, I said, go entertain your friend. Where it's fine. I said, we're good. I'm not here for all that. I said, no worries. You're good. You do you, boo. He was like, you know, kind of chuckled it off and seemed a little uncomfortable. But at the same time, you know, it was all good. So I myself was like, interesting. So I'm like, I came over to draw a truce. So this is kind of going to make this even easier. Yes and amen. So we go back upstairs after the tour to home and everybody's kind of socializing and chit-chatting and listening to music, etc. And I even took a shot with the, you know, with the young lady. I'm like, you know, I was over there. It was where the alcohol was. And it was me and one of the other married girls and her. And they were like, hey, let's take a shot. I'm like, shoot, cool. Yeah, let's take a shot. All good here. So then eventually I said, hey, the ex, I'm going to need to tell you about my dreams. Now, that's how I decided, ladies and gentlemen, that I was going to introduce my truce mentality and to the situation. So he's like, okay. So eventually, you know, we have this moment where we're kind of off to the side and we're talking. And I said, hey, so I had these two dreams and I told him about both the dreams. Okay. And I said, I'm here. I literally told him, y'all, I'm here to call a truce. I don't want to be beefing, scratching, doing the things that we've been doing on these text messages where we just can't seem to find a common ground. We've got mutual friends. I'm good people. You know, you're a lot of fun to be around. Let's just call this truce so we don't have to do this like this anymore. You know what? You look good. You over there. You look relaxed. You look like yourself. Everything. Look, we're good. I'm glad. I said, this is where I want to be. But I just met her. I mean, it's all good. No. It's not about that. It's just about, I just want to call a truce. Like, are you hearing me? So that's kind of, you know, that's where I was at with it. Not kind of, that is where I was at with the whole thing. And you know what I find ironic about it? Now, remember what I told y'all about the dreams. So she kind of posted up on the couch in the family room. And that's where he would sit down next to her and just talk to her. And I would look over and I would feel like deja vu because I would see him communicating with her. And I was like, this is just like my freaking dream. Think about it. Okay, so the underwear, the fresh tossed laundry on underwear, they were on the couch, right? And he seemed real relaxed and like himself, like that's not the person I was getting, in the text messages. So that's like the first dream. I said, you know what? This is bananas. But you know what? I'm going to say that was the Holy Spirit. That was God. So we all good. So we done called the truce. Everybody's getting along, having a nice time. It was starting to get late in the evening. And somewhere along the way, when I walked over to the table that had the alcohol, I stepped into some water that had leaked on the floor from one of the coolers. And I'm like, oh, everybody that knows me knows how much I hate wet socks. So I said, okay, I got to get some more socks. So one of my friends was like, oh, I'll grab a pair from the front because, of course, he had a basket of socks just in case you didn't come with any when you came to the home. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I had on a pair of socks from his home. I had stuffed my socks over in my shoes because they were wet. You know, goodness knows I hate wet socks. And so it's almost like you stepping on a wet, snotty rag. I don't know. It's just something about wet socks I can't stand. I don't know. How do you feel about it? I don't know. So anyways, so going back to, okay, so the evening's kind of winding down. Everything's good. And then I had to return the socks that I had on because they weren't mine at this point. So I took off the socks and I'm like, hey, I don't remember seeing a basket up front for the dirty socks, and I'm getting ready to leave. So can I give you my socks? He's like, oh yeah, I'll take them. I'll just put them in the back. I said, okay. So y'all, he takes the socks, okay? Let me set this up. It is an open floor plan. I am sitting at the island that's fully, you know, furnished on one side of the kitchen. And the other side had, you know, a sink in place for food and everything like that. And then behind that along the wall was, of course, you know, there was a space for table and chairs. There was the cabinetry, et cetera. And then maybe 4 feet behind, 4 feet to the opposite way of the island was the sofa and the family room. And so, and again, it was an open floor plan. So everybody's engaged in conversation. So I hand this grown man my socks, and he takes them and puts them up to his nose and takes a whiff and does a smile. I looked up at him and said, you what? Really, dude? So then his friend, who just met me, was like, oh, kind of cringe. Like, this dude just snipped his girl's socks. And I'm like, look at your boy's face. I said, he just caught you. You doing too much. You doing way too much. He like, girl, you know, I'm just picking with you. I'm just picking with you. You know, y'all, whatever. Man, we dated a long time ago. We dated like 8 years ago. And so I know her. We good. But you know, we broke up. She broke up with me, actually. She broke up with me for no reason. Didn't you, T? Crickets. I picked up my glass like I'm about to do right now. Picked up my glass. Took a sip. Didn't you, T? You broke me up and you broke up with me for no reason, didn't you, T? I'm not getting ready to engage in this conversation with you. That is what I said in front of everybody, because he's now making a spectacle. And then a third time. But you did, though. You did. You broke up with me for no reason about 8 years ago, didn't you? Again, I'm not getting ready to engage in this conversation with you. And then he kind of had this kind of smug look on his face, like, that's what I thought. Two things. Sidebar. Ladies. Now, you know, if he's sniffing my socks, I mean... Okay. I'm too much of a lady to go into it, but you know what I'm getting at. I'm just saying, though. I must have left an impression. Okay. So back. That's the first thing. Second thing. I have no idea what this was about. Why do you want to engage in this conversation with these, this little fake laughter and this awkward silence with everyone else around? These people don't know what happened in what was that relationship 8 years ago. This would not be the time for me to let the people know. I broke up with you because you loved bomb me, then you were smothering me, and then I took the gestures as something wonderful and beautiful, and then all of a sudden it became too much. And the woman that I am came to you, the man that you are or were or whatever, and said, this is a bit much. Hold on. Let me think this through. It's just a lot, and it's fast. And you said to me, we live in two completely different regions. That doesn't make sense. I can't be smothering you. And you continue to do what you wanted to do. This is not the time and place to have that conversation. Because if I go here, we're going to end up in a really dark place. And I just called a damn truce. Why? Why, dude, why? Why are you saying this right now? But you know what, y'all? I called the truce. I'm standing on that. I talked to Jesus before I came here. You have a company. You have company. Okay. You're not date, soft date, first date, company, home girl, not home girl, whoever it is you're trying to categorize her as. You got the new girl over here that you met a week ago. This is not trust and belief, the time or the place to have this conversation. And to me, it's almost like, you know, regurgitation, because I have said to you repeatedly why I broke up with you before. And clearly, whatever I said, it didn't matter. Didn't matter then. Why should it matter now, 8 years later? I'm not getting ready to. Y'all, look here. Nope. I ain't that one. I ain't that woman. I ain't doing it. So it was time to go. It was already time to go, but then it was really, really time to go after that. So I took it. So I'm speechless. That's who I am. I'm still speechless. I'm sorry. I'm having a moment like, wow, just wow. He says, I'll walk you to your car. And me getting ready to exit turned out to be the catalyst for other guests to leave. So it worked out perfectly. So I knew when he walked me to my car, especially after that little sniffing performance, he was just going to walk me to my car. He's got a safe face, right? And I don't know also if that whole little moment was to maybe gather sympathy for not just only from his friends, but from the young lady that was there. I really, honestly, y'all, you're going to have to just maybe DM me on that. Explain that one to me. That's a male thing, but it's okay. I'm good. Trying to understand men sometimes can be a little bit exhausting for me. I'm going to stand on my truth and my truth, Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. So I get to my car, he closes the door, then he goes and sees everybody else off, and I'm like driving home. And the drive home is about 30 minutes. So on the drive home, it just like hit me. And I just teared up, and just tears was falling out my face, and I was just shaking my head. For the first time in almost 10 years, I realized just how much I hurt him. Like, I knew I hurt him, but I mean, it's 8 freaking years. And this is a joking conversation for you in this season of your life. And I felt horrible for having hurt him like that, because I know what that is for somebody to just crush you like that and hurt you like that. I knew he was gonna say he was joking. But that didn't matter at this point. It finally hit me like a ton of bricks how much and how bad I hurt him. I also felt peaceful, because I did what I came to do, which was call a truce. And I didn't, you know, expound on what really happened in the breakup 8 freaking years ago in front of all of these people. I'm at peace. No more scratching, no more beefing. I've had an opportunity to see you with another female in real life, and it was everything I dreamed. I even told you, I wish you the best. I don't care if you just met her. It doesn't matter. I've been here almost a year. She's not the only one. She's just the one that I see that I know of today. So I'm at peace. And I'm so sorry for hurting him. And I apologized to him repeatedly before for hurting him. He says he forgave me. Okay. Question mark. But y'all, I never apologized for breaking up with him. I stand on my beliefs. You're in a relationship with somebody, you tell them what your needs are, and then you guys discuss how you can get there and come to common ground. Am I missing something in my almost middle age? Because you have two imperfect people trying to come together and love each other. So at that moment in the relationship, almost a decade ago, I did go to him and tell him how I felt, and my feelings were dismissed. And I walked away. So I never apologized for breaking up with him, but I did apologize for hurting him. And now after all this time, I guess it's really just registering just how much it hurt. So then he checks on me. Hey, you make it home? Okay. Woo, woo. And I'm looking at my text messages and I said, yes, I'm home. I said, it was a nice drive home. It was peaceful with tears in my eyes, but it was peaceful. So I had to take a little break, y'all, but I'm back. So his response to my text message was like, I just met her and it wasn't like that. And we were all laughing and joking. You know, I was taking it too seriously, etc. And his response was what I expected. But I just tried to get him to realize that, I mean, for me, the light bulb went off. Like, I get it. If I never got it before, gosh darn it, I got it now. I just didn't think it was funny. Maybe I'm lacking a sense of humor. But again, these are my perceptions of the situation. Nevertheless, I walked away with a lot of food for thought and clearly fodder for conversation. Love and forgiveness, man, it's a very intimate conversation between two people who decide to care for each other. I feel like love is purposeful. It's intentional. It's activated with awareness. We're human beings. We're going to eventually hurt one another. You have two imperfect people trying to come together and have a relationship or a friendship. And we're eventually going to hurt the other person. I mean, it's the flesh that we're wrapped in. It's our humanity. But in that moment of being hurt, that's the opportunity for both parties to make a decision on how to move forward. There are choices that need to be made. If you're the one doing the forgiving, do you accept the sorry? Do you need counseling with that partner or that friend to work through the pain? Do you need counseling just for yourself to work through the pain? Is forgiveness for you simply moving on? Do you stay with that person and discuss expectations and how to rebuild with that individual? Again, what if all you can do is forgive a person and walk away from the situation in order to bring yourself peace, just release them. It is my belief that in emotionally healthy love, it does not continuously reject or persecute the other person. Love should not feel like you're using intimate or emotional power over my exposed weaknesses and vulnerabilities. So me loving a partner or he loving me should not victimize and freeze us in time. You know what? I've been there. I've been the person that has been so hurt by someone that I loved that I told that gentleman, I love you, but this is where I get off. I let him know that the pain he caused required grace beyond my capacity. And I let that man know in that relationship that when you heal and you find another good woman, then you can start afresh. And that's going to be good for you. Because I can no longer respect you as a potential husband for me. I was clear and I let him know that the relationship had ran its course. And sometimes that's simply what you have to do. I'm woman enough to leave you. As my one girlfriend says, Danita, she goes, I'll do what your mama won't do. I'll leave you alone. But I mean, it's nothing to brag about. It's just something where you just do what you have to do to find peace. But I'm also woman enough to stay with you. I can't stay with you if being around you means a constant regurgitation of hot vomit. Every time somebody brings up a pain that you've caused them and they don't seem to be able to get past it, they bring it up in private moments. They bring it up in front of other people. It just seems to be something you can't quite ever get away from. It's like when you have pizza real late at night and you're really full and you just feel stuffed and yucky and, you know, you kind of burp and then that little vomit ball comes up. That's what it's like. It's just gross and uncomfortable and it burns. Star Jones once said, you can apologize and be sorry. And people can forgive you, but they never forget how you made them feel. And after 8 years, when the ex brings this up in any way, to me, it's a constant reminder of the way I made him feel. Hot vomit. Maybe I'm the sensitive one. That's a possibility. Again, when it comes to forgiveness, we have decisions and choices to make. If I was in a relationship and I did something to my partner and I needed my partner to forgive me, forgiveness for me looks like grace. And I want to rebuild confidence with that person and I want that person to trust me again. Remind my partner, I'm not giving something or asking for something, I should say, that I cannot give. But I will not do tit for tat and I will not do regurgitation. Folks like my parents, they can't stay married for over 50 years if forgiveness looks like this. But I feel like men they don't necessarily leave. They never quite fully leave. And if you open up the door wide enough for them to slide through, they'll take anything, everything, and all you have to offer and give, and not mean you any portion of forgiveness. If that's what that relationship requires, maybe not every man, but a good portion of them, they'll take that hurt and that pain, and instead of walking away, they'll kind of back pocket you if you let them. So I just wanted to drop those few nuggets about love and forgiveness between exes and just in general. Hopefully I posed a few questions for you and your partner to review. Maybe look for Bible verses and see what the Bible says about forgiveness. Check in with your therapist about forgiveness. Ask another seasoned couple what forgiveness looks like. Because trust me, they've got a lot of experience with it. Be intentional with the people you say you love. I'm done, y'all. You have a good night.